Hi, I'm Marcos Bazzani-Brunella, and I'm a principal hardware engineer and expert. In this video, I'm going to present our work HXDP, Efficient Software Packet Processing on FPGA-NIX. At XSprit, we work on redefining the interface between software and network interface cards by bringing our research breakthroughs inside our products. The background of this work is that network packet processing is ubiquitous. Just think about 5G deployments and data center networks. Network processing is typically done on commodity servers with general-purpose CPUs which are facing a starvation on their underlying scaling laws. So the tendency is to save CPU cycles for tasks that cannot be done really elsewhere. Thus, by pushing network processing to dedicated network accelerators, which vary in size, power requirements, and the underlying technology. Talking about technologies, at XSprit, we are strong believers on FPGAs. Why? Well, because FPGAs have been targeted as a candidate technology for such network accelerators thanks to their reprogrammability features and the opportunity to combine different building blocks together to create complex network functions. And FPGAs are also being deployed as commodity resources inside data center servers as machine learning accelerators, and in 5G radio access networks. However, the problem with FPGA-based NICs is that to implement even a simple network function, we need to iterate many times through a feedback loop of code, simulation, and synthesis before getting the actual bitstream that implements our network function. This is a tedious process which requires a lot of hardware expertise and a lot of time. To overcome this limitation, the research community has divided into two branches. One, developing high-level synthesis tools to implement expressive network function faster, but still, they require a certain degree of hardware knowledge. And the other branch, which focused on developing abstractions, such as the match action tables, to have a programmable executor on the FPGA. This allows for faster programming, but as a limited or somehow exotic programming model. The common ground of both the approaches, although, is that they assume the FPGA to be dedicated entirely to network processing tasks. Instead, our approach is to take the eBPF infrastructure, which is a packet filter implemented in the Linux kernel, recreate the same execution environment inside the FPGA, and offload the eBPF execution to the FPGA. So before diving deep inside our architecture, we need to understand how eBPF works. So what's eBPF? Well, eBPF is an in-kernel virtual machine that executes eBPF bytecode. Simple as that. Programs are written in restricted C and are compiled into eBPF bytecode. Then they are injected inside the system calling the eBPF syscall. They are passed through a static verifier and optionally just-in-time compiled for the target architecture. And finally, they are attached to one of the many eBPF hooks inside the kernel. And in our development, we focused our attention into one particular eBPF hook, which is called XDP, or the Express Data Path. XDP is one of the many eBPF hooks, and is placed at the earliest point in the stack. It's not a kernel bypass technique such as DPDK, as it doesn't relinquish CPU cores. Instead, the CPU load scales smoothly with the network traffic load and is completely transparent to the host machine. And we can now explore what an XDP program lifecycle looks like. An XDP program is triggered every time a packet arrives, and as a first thing, the eBPF environment creates the context data structure for the packet containing all the relevant pointers to packet data and metadata. And after that, the program parses the packet header and then interacts with the host system by means of maps, accesses, or helper function calls. And finally, the program rewrites the packet header and takes the forwarding decision, which can be as simple as drop the packet or more complex as redirect the packet to a particular CPU core. And by putting it all together, we can see that XDP sits along real nice along with a BPF. So our idea is to take the eBPF with the XDP hook infrastructure and recreate the very same architecture on the FPGA. We do so by implementing all the relevant map types and helper function as dedicated hardware blocks, and by executing optimized eBPF bytecode inside a custom-built CPU called Sephiroth. thus creating our Hardware Express datapath. And the original ABPF bytecode passes through our compiler and gets optimized for the execution on Segwit, which will come later. And diving more deeply inside the HXDP architecture, we can see that we have two distinct operational phases. At configuration time, we populate the Segwit instruction memory with the optimized ABPF bytecode and we configure the MAPS memory. The system then switches into runtime, and every time a packet arrives, it gets selected by the active packet selector, transferred inside the packet buffer memory, which creates the context structure for the packet. At the end of this circle, we start Sephiroth, and the execution of the optimized ABPF program starts. And at this point, Sephiroth starts fetching the optimized ABPF instruction from its instruction memory, and as execution goes by, it can call an helper function, it can access MUPS, read and write packet data, and metadata. And once Sephiroth terminates its execution, it asserts the exit signal and posts the content of register number 0, which is used by the active packet selector to implement the forwarding decision. And talking about challenges, in this design, we face two main ones. HXDP occupancy must be small so that a designer can fit multiple accelerators on FPGA. And the most complex one, HXDP performance must be comparable to the ones of an x86 CPU core, which is clocked at a frequency an order of magnitude higher. For the first challenge, we assume that the FPGA was also used for other hardware accelerators, and this forced us to keep the hardware simple by adapting the instruction set architecture to the hardware design. In fact, a simple scalar approach for the ABPF executor would have been too resource hungry, so we opted for a very long instruction word CPU, moving the instruction level parallelism extraction complexity from the hardware to the software. We brilliantly achieved that. In fact, we've managed to keep HXDP resource utilization low, occupying less than 10% of the overall logic on a net FPGA SUMI running at 156 MHz, which is the line rate frequency of its internal data path. Making HXDP fast enough was the particular pain point of this work, since an x86 CPU and an FPGA are two very different domains. In fact, while an x86 CPU is tweaked for sequential speculative execution, an FPGA is well suited for massively parallel execution. So how we managed to fill this gap? Firstly, we executed BPF bytecode inside a specialized BuLAW CPU core so that all the complexity of code parallelization is demanded to our compiler. And for the hardware design, we followed simple design principles, such as short pipeline stages, 4 parallel execution lanes for ABPF bytecode, and a constant 1 clock cycle latency for each of the operations that can be performed inside our datapath. And on the code level, which is where we put so much effort, we extended the ABPF instruction set architecture to support our custom instructions, and we safely removed unnecessary instructions from the application's code, since we could provide that specific functionality directly in hardware. And to illustrate code optimization, we will use a simple UDP firewall written in ABPF. Here on the left, we are going to see the restricted CE of the UDP firewall, while on the right, the relevant ABPF bytecode. Here, to initialize data structures which are going to be pushed in the ABPF stack, LLVM uses R4 to zero write the relevant location. But providing an already zeroed stack is trivial to do in hardware, thus removing those 4 instructions from execution is safe for us. Here, the argument of the conditional statement gets compiled as 2 different instructions. Well, we can simply create a new class of instructions that support also the immediate operand along with the source register, thus merging the 2 operations into one. And this is trivial to implement in hardware and to recognize at compile time. Another recurring pattern in ABPF programs is the boundary check on the packet header. Also, this can be easily implemented in hardware, thus saving this costly branch instruction. Also, many applications need to access to source and destination MAC addresses inside the Ethernet frame. But unfortunately, eBPF does not provide a 6-byte load and store and translate those memory accesses into sequences of 2-byte load and stores. We are able to extend the instruction set architecture by encoding 3 new instructions for 6-byte data movement, encoding the new instruction nicely inside the encoding scheme of eBPF. Another important extension was to embed the forwarding decision inside the exit instruction, rather than to store it into register number 0 and then exiting. This, other than reducing the instruction count, allows the compressed exit instruction to be detected at the first stage of Sephiroth pipeline, thus saving the other 3 clock cycles. And now we can discuss the performance of all this optimization. And we tried every XDP code that we had inside the Linux kernel. In fact, we ran a detailed analysis for the single optimization of all the Linux kernel examples, XDP problems. And as is depicted in the graph, by removing boundary checks and introducing 3 operands instruction and 6-byte load and stores provides a significant gain in terms of instruction reduction. And by putting all the optimization together, we have evaluated the impact on the final code. In fact, by taking the original eBPF bytecode length and applying all the optimization, we obtain the final optimized and parallelized bytecode, which will be executed by Sephiroth. And analyzing the instruction level parallelism and comparing the results with the x86 just-in-time compiler, we can state that x86 mostly expands code, while all our optimization decreased significantly the resulting VLIW bytecode. In fact, we achieved 2.31 average IPC across all the examples, which is comparable to the one that an x86 CPU core achieves at runtime. And if you want to read more, there is an OSDI paper we got in November. There is all the details on that. Then we tested our entire system by first running some micro benchmarks of throughput, and the performance here is measured in million packets per second and traffic is UDP minimum packet size. And the line rate is 40 gigabit per second. We are trying that on a net FPGA assuming. And as you can see from the first 2 graphs from the left, we're always able to outperform an x86 CPU core, which is running at 3.7 GHz. Remember, here we are running at 156 MHz for our design. In fact, this is astonishing for a simple VLIW core running at a frequency which is 10 times lower. However, when we access maps, the memory hierarchy of an x86 system kicks in and we are slightly back at 3.7 GHz core, but still higher than one clock at 2.1 GHz. We then tested all the Linux kernel examples, and it's shown within the graph we're able to achieve the same performance of an x86 core clocked at 2.1 GHz for programs that do not require intense interaction with Yoast, so maps access and helper function calls. And finally, we've tested our architecture with real-world applications, such as the UDP firewall we've seen in the optimization section, and Katran, which is Facebook's load balancer. And also here, we are able to outperform x86 core running at 2.1 GHz. And in terms of latency, we have included also measurements done on the network flow processor from Nitronom. And as expected, we are 10 times lower than an x86 implementation, but what comes as a surprise is that we are still lower than a Nitronom card. So, this was November 2020. What's new? Well, we've swapped the platform. We're actively developing on Xilinx LW50 for this design, and we have integrated EdgeXDP inside Gurundu, which is an open NIC design developed at UCCD. The benefits, well, we bumped from 156 MHz to 250. We are able to exploit the new UltraRAM design on the Vertex UltraScale Plus for bigger maps, and if we want huge maps, we can back them with the high bandwidth memory which the Xilinx Alveo provides. We have a tighter host interaction thanks to the Corundum driver. We are able to pass packets from the datapad to the host system through the PCI Express. And we have explored also a many-core design, and we wanted to avoid any kind of interaction between 2 cores, so we used an example, which is a unidirectional NAT. Pretty simple, and we decreased the number of lanes for each CPU from 4 to 2. So we prefer to work on data level parallelism rather than instruction level parallelism, just to make more CPU fit inside the FPGA. And we were able to close the design with 4 CPUs, and we are trying to have 8, although it's quite painful. But with 4 cores, we are 5.6% the performance that we had with the previous design. In the conclusion, today I've showcased HXDP, which is the Arbor Express data pad. We just recreated the eBPF infrastructure on FPGA NIX. And the benefits is that we can execute unmodified eBPF programs. We need low hardware resources, and we can free up CPU cores with a similar performance at 10 times lower latency. And as future work, we want to dive deep into the compiler optimization to try to extract, to squeeze some instruction level parallelisms from the programs. Also, most XDP programs require packet parsing, which is a task that can be safely transferred to a dedicated hardware block. And we want to move to the billion of entries inside our maps. So we are trying to implement a transparent hierarchy of all the memory resources on the FPGA. And the dream of every hardware engineer to have an ASIC that some fixed functionalities can suit very well an ASIC implementation, for example, separate. So we want to try to put them inside Silicon. And thanks for watching, and I'll be very happy to get questions in the Q&A session of FOSDEM.